Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
7:05 in St. Louis, you're listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. Timothy Michael McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Doug LaSelvin Vaughn with you, the Plow Iggy Monster, alongside here live as we kind of get into it.
Into what now?
It.
All right, let's really dive into it.
Matt Vaskirjian of the MLB Network going to be with us at 8 o'clock. Rick Hummel of the Post-Dispatch going to be with us at 8:30. And the Speezer, Scott Spezio, with us at 9 o'clock.
Friend of the show.
Don't fear the Speezer. Pretty good. That's a take on Blue Ice or Cold.
Yeah. I picked up on that.
Really good.
I did that right there. It was an ad lib. Sick ad lib, bro. Thanks.
His pop was at the game last night, Ed Spezio.
1967 Cardinals, Doug.
Right, I remember him.
I like those uniforms they was sporting last night.
Yeah, they're kind of nice.
The sleeves were a little weird. They were like not long and not short. They were right in between. Now, if you're like me and you got guns,
right,
you just go without a T under it and just show how you're blessed.
You don't have guns. Also, the lettering different on the names of the back. And the little red stripe down the pants
and a little patch on the shoulder.
Mm. Right, kind of a nice look.
Yeah,
they do spend a lot of money on all the different uniforms they wear over the course of the year.
That's why they cut back on the Navy caps.
It must have been. I did not, politically incorrect to say, but I didn't really care for everyone in baseball wearing the same pinkish uniforms over the weekend. I don't know. I just
Plowhawk just said, wow. There was no Mike, but he just said, wow.
No, my own mother died of breast cancer. I understand the importance of it. It just seems like, I don't know. It just somehow seems inappropriate that everyone's wearing pink for two days. I don't know why it bothered me. It's a bad look.
I thought it was fine. I think sometimes there's a faction on this show that obsesses about
this is passive aggressive, Doug. This is passive aggressive towards us.
Uniform.
Since you're not on the fan
colors.
Page, you don't know how to pick up passive aggressive stuff enough.
I think it's for a good cause, and why not? Just a day or two.
Well,
I know
NFL
not making,
makes it a whole month.
Could there not be other causes?
Well, there are other causes.
Well, not that everybody in baseball changes their uniforms over, or swinging pink bats and everything. It's kind of, I don't know.
I understand your position, and I get it. I'm not, you know, I know, and it's not like you're screaming and demanding change. I understand you're just saying it doesn't sit well with you. That's all. I think
it's certain
fine.
Games you couldn't tell who the teams were even.
Well, shot at Missouri football.
Right.
I could tell. Usually they have like Cardinals that said, you know, there's.
Well, on the tight shots, you could. I was cutting highlights over the weekend and I watch another team's play. Every team in baseball had the same looking uniforms on.
They usually have names or cities on them that will differentiate.
But... No kidding.
But that's how you tell them apart generally.
Yeah. Well, thanks for that.
And then, like, if it's a Cardinal, like, hey, grounder to first, that's Matt Carpenter. It must be the Cardinals. That's how I was able to tell.
Well, thanks. I'll think of that next time.
All right. See, we're making progress.
All right. Nice. No, but I thought last night's uniforms were fine.
Yeah.
I thought those were fine.
Back on track.
Are we done?
Doug, the Cardinals lose. I've got it as a 6-3 final on my box score.
Yeah, that's what I saw. The same thing.
Yeah, a couple of things in there. Just a couple of things.
A few defensive miscues, three errors, but...
Just a couple of things.
Well, as well as they've played the last 3-4 weeks, it's hard to say, the defense is awful. You know, it's going to
happen. So you're not going to hold them accountable
today? No, not really. It's going to happen sometimes. It just is. I mean, they played great over the last month or so. I think that was the first error in the outfield Tommy Pham has made as a Cardinal, isn't it?
It was...
I think it was.
It was a miscue. It was not something that sure looked pretty. But no. He's played so. I said that. I mean, you couldn't play better than Tommy Pham is playing right now. And as you say, mistakes are going
to
happen.
It's going to happen from time to time. Little troubling to see the throw that Dexter Fowler made from center. That kind of told you that his arm doesn't feel very good.
I agree with that.
And that could have been, the game may have been on the line right there. As it turns out, they wound up losing by more than just that one run. But
they had kept him out longer than I thought they would, based on the reports we got in the wake of that diving attempt where he banged up his shoulder. But apparently it's not 100%. At least that's what you would grasp by watching that.
Yeah, he wasn't very deep in center field, and the guy scored rather easily.
And there were a couple of defensive miscues.
Now, is that from the rights holder perspective? You try to muffle that?
I have a memo that said when you say defensive miscues, you kind of slur it so it's not understandable to everyone.
Okay.
So way someone... to hide the fact that there were defensive miscues.
Okay.
Now, we were... Because it does seem, up until last night, that things stabilized defensively to a certain extent. At least I got that feeling. So they had two series before, two errors total. But still, something like 19 errors in 24 games, it's still a bad stretch. But I do think that there have been some improvements with Diaz at short and Wong at second, though Wong had errors.
Here's Mike Matheny on the need for the Cardinals to improve the defense.
Hit the lever, Plowsy.
Yeah, we're going to keep talking about how we're going to improve defensively and how we're going to keep working on it. Not necessarily all going to come in one day. I believe we've made great strides forward, but you're still going to have days when it just doesn't come together. But I'd say this is very much like what we saw early on and what we saw two times last year. If we don't make plays, ends up biting us pretty hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bite us hard.
I don't think he had anything in mind other than, boy, we sure got bitten hard on a wrong end of a 6-3 score.
Doug, Design Air is a sponsor of the 7 o'clock hour. Design Air, heating and cooling, donating 2% of all sales from the TMA audience to Three Little Birds for Life. DesignAirService.com. Design Air, the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop. Train. Matt Baskersian at 8. Rick Hummel at 8:30. Scott Spezio at 9 o'clock. Your emails for the Hot Shots email the day, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Misty Plops picks up a very important point yesterday. That's a very important point.
Why?
Because now Misty Plops has a 3-goal lead. Hmm. And the 3-goal lead rarely is surmounted.
I don't know that that's necessarily the word. Overcome, maybe? Rarely is a 3-goal lead surmounted.
Nice.
I just don't know.
If you were a knight, you'd be surmounted.
It's hard to overcome a 3-goal lead. I don't know if it's hard to surmount.
It's hard to stop a train.
Where is Scott Spezio these days? Is he still SoCal?
I don't know. I don't keep in touch with him.
Sea Monster booked him, and he says, I believe he's living in Illinois. Oh, wow. Change of pace.
Really?
Yeah. I guess he's excited about what's going on with Lovey.
Well, I don't know that he's at the University of Illinois. Isn't he like Chicago?
Chicago's
he hangs out in Champaign. You ever been to Champaign?
Urbana?
Yeah. Well, that area. It's not really that exciting.
I loved Evelyn Champaign King. Who didn't, though, really? Yeah. It's a nice area, Champaign. It's a nice area.
It's okay.
What don't you like about it? You got beat up there, didn't you?
No. It's just okay. I've been there a couple times. There's just something about it that doesn't strike me as, wow, this is a...
Do you like
place.
Columbia better?
Yes.
Rank your college towns. Lawrence, Columbia,
Geneseo.
Champaign, Urbana, and
I've never
Geneseo.
Been to Lawrence. Never been to Lawrence.
Rock Chalk Jayhawk, go KU.
Well, I like Columbia as a college town. I just don't care for Champaign.
One of the two colleges is down in enrollment, and I know it's not in Champaign. I can certainly tell you that much.
Oh, yeah. Way down.
The Tiger Boards, Plowhawk.
Way down.
Plowhawk's Laugh is brought to you by the Post Sports Bar and Grill.
To its lowest in like 20 years. I'm sure it has to do with the admission standards are so darn high that a lot of the students just aren't qualifying now.
At least it's a bargain, though, right? Very affordable.
No. In fact, they're going to charge the people that stay more.
I understand.
That's the thank you that you get for hanging in there.
Don't you get a sticker to put in your car? You don't get like a little thing in the back window, a little
no, you don't.
Made or
no,
something
you can
like
buy that.
That
for about $10.
They don't give you a sticker?
No, they don't. They don't give you anything.
They give you a great education, especially at the J school.
Yep.
It's all about business.
Your mom's in my business. She's in my business. Your mom's in my business.
You guys played golf yesterday, didn't you?
Iggy, Doug, and I went out there, and we invited a listener on the fan pin at 1:40. We were teeing off at 2:30, and sure enough, there was a gentleman there ready to go by 2:15.
What was his name?
Ryan T. Brummer.
Oh, Ryan
T. Brummer.
Yeah. Does he text the show or email the show?
I don't know if he does or not.
He said every now and then, only rarely.
What, like Buck from the county or something?
Yeah, I believe that's what he said. Buck from the county. Mm-hmm. He's a pretty good player.
And did you guys have good fellowship?
Made out on the 11th hole.
How so?
Who? I stuck my tongue in everybody's mouth.
No, he didn't. I didn't see that. Maybe I was looking for my golf ball at that time.
That's because you were the back end of the human centipede.
No, I wasn't.
No, I really remember that.
Right.
Tim, you're the leader of this company. I don't know if...
Well, again, I want to make sure that it's clear that that is not... I am the leader of Inside STL Enterprises.
Right, and you're the leader in this studio. How about that?
I put the C on the Plowhawk's chest.
Plowhawk, let me ask you this, if I may. Pull the mic closer to you.
Pull it snug,
Do you believe, as a leader of this studio... that Doug was the back end of a human centipede situation.
Oh, there's no other position for Doug in a human centipede scenario than the back end of it.
Good okay,
for
you. Plowsy, you've been suspended. It's a nice hole, Bill.
Peoria Plowboy has been suspended for those remarks. He's been suspended a period of 2 days' time, and his name will be written, even as we speak, into the Hot Shots leather-bound suspension logbook.
I didn't think he'd do it, Doug. I thought he would stand for truth and honor.
You had no hand in making it happen either.
No, I thought he would stand for truth and honor. No, I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it. In fact, I was calling out Tim.
You're on the moral high ground on this one. You don't do anything at all to encourage that.
I called out Tim, and Tim passed the leadership baton to Plowsy, so I checked with Plowsy.
Mm-hmm.
Tim, will you buy Camo X? Thanks, that's from TJ. I'm sorry. I don't know what that would run.
TJ, I'm sorry.
I'm going to say 25,000, 26,000, 3,000.
Interest rates are low.
Right.
Maybe three.
Maybe I'll fire a bid in. If you think it's worth 25,000, I'll fire a bid in for 55,000.
Yeah, go high. You want to make sure you get it.
Why don't you first get in touch with your moneyed circle?
Right.
And then pursue.
You'd have to spend a lot of monies to get it.
Yeah, but there'd be a goodly return.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand what's going on anymore. Doug, Bud Selects is the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. So when you're watching the Cardinals and Sox and celebrating the 50th anniversary of that world championship, 14 members of that team here tonight, enjoy yourself a Bud Select, the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After.
Well, I can't drink while I'm performing journalism, but I'm sure the 47,000-some-odd fans that'll be there tonight will have a Bud Select or two.
Yeah, playing golf yesterday, Doug hadn't played in a year, and Doug is the master of the green in regulation, and he was throwing darts, the cat. He was throwing darts, and he has a bag that says his name on it, mm-hmm. like a tour pro, and sir, your game is at tour pro standards.
Not really, no. I'm a little sore and stiff.
Really?
I haven't used those muscles in a while.
What are you, a putter? Is that what when you say he's
flat? Flat iron.
Flat iron is what you call it. Flat iron.
He was even through four holes.
Yep.
Two pars, a bogey, and a birdie.
This guy's an athlete.
He is.
I got worse as the day went along. That happens to me every time.
Well, you got bad shoulders.
Did your shoulder bother you?
No, it didn't.
Oh, that's good.
It did not bother me. The underhand motion doesn't really bother me.
I got to tell you, who was it? Your buddy Cucky tweeted out some video or something that...
He's putting together outstanding work is what he's
very
doing.
Very nice.
And they take like 10 minutes, too. I mean...
What do you mean by that?
They literally take Red Sox. 20, 25 minutes. Like the hockey video he did with Gretzky, that took him like 5 minutes in the background.
But it looks nice.
Yeah,
he puts a nice front on it. It's got a nice flow. But my point is that Doug is featured because he included the clip of Doug taking Seaver over the wall.
Oh, he did.
And I looked at that, and that is like a legitimate swing. You're an athlete, sir.
Well, we're on the first tee, and everybody's kind of checking out everybody's packages.
What?
And Doug gets up there with his practice swing, and it's like, hey, man, you've been playing like every day for the last 10 years with that swing, yo.
No.
And then you just strike it nice with a nice little right to left down the right side of the fairway because you know the fairway goes and slopes to the left, kind of like my head. And then it's a lovely second shot for your approach. And then you just start firing darts.
I don't know how many darts I fired.
Was Doug wearing a onesie? Like
he was wearing a onesie, actually. I call it a romper. You call it a romper?
Yeah, those are hot now, aren't they? And as the day goes on, you just unzip it a little bit more.
Clip that off.
So you golf in a romper?
Well, maybe I do, maybe I don't. It's possible. What's frustrating is I get worse as the round goes along. I don't know if I just lose focus or start to get tired swinging the club. I don't know.
Fatigue might factor in if you're not playing much.
But it's always been the case. I just get worse. Bowling's the same way. If I haven't bowled in a while, I'll go the first game, and that'll be the best game I bowl the whole time. Hold on, I'm there. And then every game that follows, I'm worse than I was the game before.
Can we workshop this? Do we have time to workshop?
Of course we do. Excursions at 8.
Okay, you've played sports all your life, right?
Yeah.
All right. Do you have a history of starting well, but in the money rounds or as the competition heats up, do you begin to fold up?
Oh, my God. He's calling you out for an inability to handle the pressure.
Well, like in a team sport you're talking about?
I'm talking about in your athletic career, did you crumble as the games got bigger and more important? My guess is no.
Well, I may have at times.
No, I'm saying generally speaking. That's not a trademark of yours.
Well, the games weren't real important. It was, high school, college.
Answer the question. No, you don't have a track record of crumbling.
In golf and bowling, I have a track record of getting worse the more I play.
Mm. All right, so maybe it's a personal shortcoming. I was trying to save you.
It could be.
Maybe you start like, it's getting the crunch time. Tim will think badly of me. And
yeah, I was starting to.
I think it's focus. When you first get out there, you're just trying to take it slow and easy. Yeah, I hope I don't screw it up and things
go
well.
You were swinging free and easy.
And that's how you ought to do it the whole time. But I can't. The more you play, then I start to think about it. Well, I should have done this.
Why
I should have done
visualize
that.
Visualize swinging free and easy.
Maybe I will next
time. I'm playing with house money.
Right.
I don't know if money was involved.
I think the funniest shot was he was behind a tree. And
doing
he had,
what?
Pardon me?
Doing what?
Oh, were you weeing?
Just looking for the golf ball, fellas.
Well, after you weed, then you found your ball. And he had to punch it like underneath the tree. And I told him the green is just like 50 yards over this hill. So just punch it over this hill and it should roll up there. And I said, what do you got? Like a 7 iron? He's 3 iron. What?
Oh, Big Al.
Oh, it's coming in low.
He didn't ship. He took a full swing. That ball had to go 150 yards over the green.
I didn't know. I couldn't see the green. Didn't know where it was.
It's right over the hill.
I didn't know how far over the hill it
was. Maybe focus isn't your issue. Maybe it's listening.
I thought I hit a perfect shot. I said, boy, that was a dandy there.
Yeah, well, the ball was 200 yards away.
How'd you play?
Pardon me?
How'd you play?
I play the same as always. I have some good holes, and I just look like I shouldn't be playing golf.
Well, that kind of comes when you're old. A once-a-month guy.
And how was Tim?
Good as always.
Very good.
Strong to quite strong.
He just crushes them all.
Were you guys like the hottest foursome out there, would you say?
I don't know.
Tubby.
There are other hot guys out there. Jay always makes sure there are hot guys at his course.
I don't know.
Well,
club owner in Las Vegas. Yeah, make sure that there are hot women at the club. Jay makes sure there's hot girls at Normandy.
Yeah, it's guys, a new link. You have to send a picture in before your foursome is
booked. Right. Yeah. It's very elite.
Trendy club.
Let's see. Doug was throwing butts in my darts in my butt last night. Como Cuddler. There were a few of those. Let's see. Tim, I visited Ryan Kelly's office to sign paperwork on buying a place.
Good.
Couldn't have been happier with the services so far I have received, as well as the time Ryan took out to come and talk with me and make sure everything was going good. Thanks, Tim. You are the best. Support the sponsors. That's from Kivorsky.
Hey, how about Kivorsky. Thanking Ryan Kelly? How about
yeah, I didn't really have a whole lot to do with
the
that.
Service.
But thank you.
It's all about Tim. He went to Ryan Kelly to get the mortgage, got a great loan, got fantastic service. Thanks, Tim.
Now, I will say...
Danny Schwartz.
Tim. I will say thanks, Tim, because we all had fellowship with some listeners.
We did.
At lunch.
How delightful was that? Denny, Zach, and Mandy.
Pretend there was a celebrity there, too.
And Carol Channing.
Nicole Kidman.
Ooh!
Was there. And the food was great. I got the BLT, but Tim said, you know what? Let's put out some of the candied bacon on the table.
I said candied bacon and wings and, you know, whatever you guys want. Enjoy yourselves here.
And then he started walking around with a baseball bat like that scene from The Untouchables.
Elliot Ness.
Time for individual achievement.
Right.
In the field, part of a team.
Right.
And there was that one producer who you didn't like, and you split his head open with a bat. And then we all just
had candy bacon.
Yeah, and then moved on.
It's a tough, rugged crowd. It really is.
So Mandy, Doug,
yeah,
bought this auction item to have lunch with the six of us.
That was very nice of her.
And I can't imagine how many other women she had to outbid.
I'm going to say none.
Probably zero.
Let's total it up to carry the two, none.
I understand.
But it was a nice gesture on her behalf anyway to make us feel better.
Oh, so you think that was just a charity spend?
I think
she gets to write that off?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
We do stuff for charity. This was charity for us, so we'd feel better as a collective unit. But I sent you away, old Mandy, when you came and you gave without taking. I need you today, old Mandy. You like that song, Doug?
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
That's why I just performed it.
I didn't care for that, but it was a big hit for Barry.
Tim, why didn't Iggy's buddy Jason Duffner join you guys yesterday? Thanks. That's from Mae Young's newborn hand. War Eagle, Jason Duffner.
I think there's a tournament this week he's playing.
Old Jason Duffner.
Wonder what he would fire up at Normandy. What do you think, Iggy? Par 72?
Christ, he probably couldn't even par with those pin placements yesterday.
Uh-oh, you're not happy with the pin placements. You think Jennings goes out there and...
I hope he doesn't hear that.
Places the pins?
Oh, I'm sure there's a reason why, but...
Jesus is the reason for the season.
Yeah, I think a pro there, I mean, it's a great layout, but it's not that difficult of a course. I think a pro would probably shoot 65 there.
7 under par.
Yeah.
Probably so.
So what were the final scores? Anyone
I par? Honestly think I would have been, out of the three of us anyway, last... but we didn't finish the whole round. It was like getting to be about 6:45, and there was a league that came out, not like the golf league that Jennings always talks about, but a different league that came out. So I guess it slowed things down on the course because we were kind of shooting along at our own little pace in the front nine, and then
you
in the
were
back
enjoying
end.
Fellowship.
We were enjoying fellowship, and then we kind of ran into. I guess there was one guy in front of us. And he—I don't know what
at
was going
point,
on. There. And he held up the whole course. Like, how does a solo guy?
And I didn't see him earlier. Yeah, people might have been playing through, or he may have just kind of wandered on right.
But
midway.
How does a single hold up the course? Must have been playing a few different balls.
Listen here. I don't know.
What does that mean? Listen here.
I don't know.
Then we let two guys play through us because they were moving really well and looked like they were pretty good players.
Yeah, cute guys too.
What? And so we're
striking up a convo with them.
We're standing there in the tee box, and they're getting ready to hit real quick. And one guy hits it 320 down the middle, and the next guy stands up and hits it 310 down the middle. And I just feel, you know, I don't want to play anymore.
You shut it down. You retired.
Yeah.
But they said you played well, Doug.
But you see the way those guys hit the ball.
Hey, come on, guy. You hadn't played a lot, guy.
They were fans of the show too.
Were they?
I don't know.
Well, they must have been, because after they hit and they bombed it, and Doug kiddingly said, "We're going to be hitting right into your back." And the guy said, "That's hot." So I think they were embarrassed to say they knew us, but why would he say
they
that's hot?
Strolled off hand in hand into the woods.
I don't know.
So I think they were friends of the show.
Guys, the pin placements yesterday totally made me shoot 110. That's from the 217. Somebody came in from the 217 to play Norman.
And where's that 217? I mean,
isn't that like the Springfield?
I wouldn't know.
Illinois, nape of the woods?
Pretty sure it's Cedar Rapids. Just made that up.
Knowing what we know now, I'm guessing Mandy was a boy, Michael's wife's coworker.
I think Mandy was a dog.
Mandy Patinkin.
Yeah, actor. He wasn't involved in that song.
No, so Mandy, when Barry Manilow was singing,
it was about the actor Mandy Patinkin.
No, I believe it was about a dog that he said.
Really?
When you came and you gave without taking.
So was it like something about peanut butter?
Need you today, oh Mandy.
Yeah, he did come out a couple weeks ago. He's gay and shocked the world.
Yeah. Thanks for connecting the dots for us there, Barry.
Guys, That's Hot is trademarked by TMA. Thanks. That's from A Tool Belt for Daddy.
Hello, Toolsy.
Did you see my grandpa pleasuring his golf partner in the lake on the 15th?
It didn't.
It's from the 314.
We did see this little machine they have that literally rolls through ponds and picks up golf balls as it goes. Yeah. I've not seen that before. Looked almost
it was
like
quite a device.
Piece of lawn equipment that just rolled right into the water and picked up hundreds of balls.
Right. Sucked them up like the Dickens,
it
bro.
It sure did, yeah.
So this was a submersible?
Yeah.
A submersible?
It was definitely a submersible. It went right into the water and just scooped up the balls that were in the pond.
Can they get pirate treasure that way?
Oh, probably could.
Let's grab one of those things and get to an ocean and start looking for pirate treasure. Get rich.
Mel Fisher did that.
I'm sorry? Mel Sharples?
Mel Fisher. He was a famous treasure hunter down in Florida and came up with a lot of booty from sunken ships. A lot of booty from sunken ships in the Caribbean.
To treat me like a pirate and give me that booty. Treat me like a pirate and give me that booty.
That's what they would sing on the ship.
Did he ever discover doubloons, gold doubloons?
I don't know about that necessarily, but I know he got rich doing it.
I went to a guy's house in Bermuda, and for the life of me, I cannot think of his last name. His first name's Teddy, but
Ted Higuera used to pitch for the Brewers.
Oh, yeah, he did. He wasn't
like
bad.
The top head of a totem pole when you think about it.
But he was, because in Bermuda, what they used to do in the old days is there's so many reefs close into shore, and the pirates would go onto the beach, and they would tie Christmas lights around goats. And the ships out there would see the lights and figure, okay, there's land. They would come in, they would hit the reefs, and then the pirates go out and take all the treasure. But
they had electricity back then?
I don't know what it was. It was just lights, and they tied them around the goats. Maybe it was candles. I don't know. That's just what I was told by Teddy.
Teddy might have been spinning a yarn.
I don't think so, because if you've been in his house, the man is a multimillionaire, I don't know how many times over, just from going out to these shipwrecks and finding
the
gold and the treasures, and his whole house is filled with this stuff. But, he's probably $10, $12 million worth of treasures he's found out there diving.
Because of the goats.
He said they would tie lights around goats, and the ships would see it and come toward the lights, and they would hit the reefs and sink. Then the pirates would go out and loot the rum or whatever it was.
And they'd kill all the people in the boat.
Well, probably.
They would drown.
Did a lot of the pirates have hooks and stumps, or was that just...
I think they all did.
I wasn't living during that era. I was just told that.
If you know about the goat lights, you probably know about the stumps.
I've seen the pictures. They have one wooden leg. They have a hook for an arm, and a patch over their eye, and a parrot on the shoulder. That's what they look like.
And they'd say, "Arr."
I'm just telling you what Teddy told me.
We got to get Teddy on the show and hold him accountable.
We could. Everybody in Bermuda is listed in the phone book. There's no such thing as unlisted numbers
there. No room.
Except for Ross Perot. He's not listed, but...
He lives there?
H. Ross Perot.
Yes, I waited on him once. Cheap bastard.
Oh, come on. He couldn't have been.
No, I made everything in his table for him and his wife. No side tip whatsoever.
What side tip?
Well, there's 15% gratuity in the thing, but when you're doing tableside flambés...
Hold on, you're saying it like we should know this.
Tim, usually.
I'm pissed off about In-N-Out's fries, and really that's where my culinary knowledge stops and starts, Doug.
How many times have I told you, when you're talking flambés, it's a whole different operation. Tell us about
what kind of flambé did you make for H. Ross Perot?
I don't remember what I made for him, but there was steak Diane, there was shrimp Dijon, Caesar salad was made tableside from scratch. Every dessert we had was flambé, bananas Foster, cherries Jubilee.
You're right there at his table making all this.
Yes, and he gave me nothing. Thank you, Kenny. Thank you.
Measure twice,
15% in there, and no.
That's what he used to say.
Most people would like flick you another 20 or 40 for all the stuff you've done at their table. He gave me nothing.
Mm.
And he has he thought he could do what he wanted on the island. He blew up a reef. He brought in dynamite.
When he put the goats.
No, but he blew up a reef by his house so he could get his yacht closer to the shore. I think they fined him like millions of dollars for doing that. But he just, without telling anybody, just brought in dynamite and blew up a reef. and then brought his yacht closer.
That could affect the ecosystem, Doug.
It sure could, yeah.
Look, if you're going to make Cherry's Jubilee, Bananas Foster, Caesar Salad, Steak Diane, Shrimp Dijon for a table, you want a little extra.
You can do all that, can you?
Yes.
Wow, wow, wow.
Why don't you prepare Steak Diane, but make sure there's no cooking and onions.
You bring in a Bunsen burner and a couple of fillets and some mushrooms.
I don't have a Bunsen burner.
I do actually have a Bunsen burner in my whip.
I don't even have an Erlenmeyer flask.
Yes, anybody out there, bring in the utensils, and I will sit here and I will make everybody a Steak Diane.
What makes a Steak Diane?
Good question. And that's named after Diane Chambers, the love interest of Ted Danson's character, Sam Malone.
It's a common mistake, Tim. I believe it's named after Diane Sawyer, the journalist.
Oh, my. So what do you do to a steak to make it Diane?
Some mushrooms, some green peppers, some onions, I use consomme, but you can use any kind of broth, and you...
Is that like a ketchup, bro?
Reduce that until it gets nice and thick, and that's the sauce that goes over the steak.
Steak Diane.
All over the steak's chest.
It doesn't always have to get to that, Tim.
Guys, Tim's volume's a lot higher than everyone else's on the TuneIn app. I'm cool with it and could listen to just Tim all morning, but I wanted to pass it along. Thanks. So I'm a Wildwood Whisker Biscuit.
Thank you, Wildwood Whisker Biscuit.
Thank you, Danny Schwartz, for your fine insurance agency.
Doug Ryan Kelly was just thanked on this program, and he's the title sponsor of this show. Why don't you tell the audience all about what he's got going on right now, because there are big doings.
There are big doings always. But Ryan Kelly is in the business of saving you money. You're thinking, well, a mortgage, that's going to cost... No, it's going to save you money because he's going to get you the lowest rates and great service. And if you refinance now, you can get a higher rate down to a lower rate and save you hundreds of dollars each month, possibly tens of thousands, literally tens of thousands of dollars over the life of the loan. That's all he does. How are you doing? What are you doing to save people money?
Right. I like you. I just
probably,
want to say I like
next
you.
To nothing.
You've got a good way about you.
Okay. Everybody knows that when you want the lowest mortgage rate and the best loan, you go to Ryan Kelly and the home loan expert team. But I've seen firsthand there's so much more to him than just getting you the best deal. They love to give back to so many charities also in St. Louis, like Friends of Kids with Cancer, SSM, Cardinal Glennon, the Backstoppers, Catherine Cares, St. Patrick Center, and the list goes on and on and on. It's a fantastic company. Support it if you can. Ryan Kelly and the home loan expert team work hard so you don't have to. If you're looking to refinance or purchase a home, why would you go anywhere else? Call Ryan at 314. Call Ryan at 314-781-9700 or visit thehomeloanexpert.com. Questions? Yes, Jim?
No, really a suggestion. That was a good, solid read. Why not take credit at the end and at the very end after you give the phone number and go, me? Question mark. My name's Doug.
I'm bad.
Yeah, and that way it's almost like you're signing
the last part. Why would you go anywhere else? Call Ryan at 314-781-9700 or visit thehomeloanexpert.com. Me? My name is Doug.
I'll cut that off.
Snag it. The future of live reads. It's a signature.
Snag it.
All right.
Snag it now, boy.
Well done, sir.
Tip of the cap to you and your family. Treat me like a pirate and give me that booty. Treat me like a pirate and give me that booty. Tim, I prefer a steak, Doug. That's a nice piece of meat with Doug's man juice sauce drizzled on top.
You can't.
Mae Young's newborn hand has struck.
Mae Young's newborn hand has struck right on the suspension longule for a period to last 2 days' time.
He, you might want to treble it because he did text that in three separate times.
Oh, you've never seen the text repeat strategy?
What is
to
that?
Make sure you didn't see it. Here it is again. You didn't see it. This is really funny. Here it is again. Here it is again.
Tim,
here it
Tim,
is again.
Tim, Tim. Me? My name is Doug.
Sorry, Iggy. You creeped me out and I spent the rest of my vacation trying to attract you to the reefs with my goat. Thanks. That's from H. Ross Perot, who I guess is streaming in Bermuda.
That's where he lives, Iggy? Are you
sure?
He's
got to be 100 years old by now.
No, I'm sure he has other homes, but he did have a home in Bermuda.
Did you call him H or Ross, or how do you handle that? You go, hey, H,
Mr.
Ross.
Mr. Perot.
So you knew who he was back then?
Frank Cusimano.
I mean, don't know him personally, but I knew who he was. I just said, thank you, Mr. Perot. Hope everything was fine.
Was this after he ran for president?
I think so.
Else would you know him?
Yeah, because it had to be, or else I would have known who
was Admiral Stockdale with him.
No, he had his wife with him.
I know a lot about Pennsylvania, and it's great.
That's not Stockdale.
Give him some tongue meat.
When did he run for president?
92, Doug, and did he make another run in 96, but then didn't get on the ballot? Or did he get on the ballot, but it really was irrelevant? Bill Clinton defeated Bob Dole and Jack Kemp.
Bob Dole.
Rather comfortably.
Bob Dole doesn't like Bill Clinton.
My grandpa once pleasured Ross Perot on the 18th at Augusta National.
All right. He didn't.
That hole is really out in the open unless you hit it off to the right, and there's a little shrub area there. I guess that's where
you could hide behind Eisenhower Oak, probably.
Mickelson trying to light up the crowd again. Birdie to win the hole.
Oh, no.
Doug, tomorrow night, Jack E. Papers live from the Hot Shots in O'Fallon, Missouri. I mean O'Fallon, Illinois.
That's right.
It's the Larry Nickel graduation party, also known as TMA Live, presented by Bud Select.
A lot of activities.
Now, starting things off on the captain's log, which has been posted on the fan pit, tributes to Lawrence T. Nickel. TMA trivia, who said it? The DB Sports Bar exit poll, hosted by Matt, who bowls at Hank's. Matt, who bowls at Hank's.
He's hosting?
He is hosting. It's kind of like when they do Weekend Update on Saturday Night Live, they allow the star of the show to take a little break there because they have the musical act and then Weekend Update. And that's what that's going to be like for us. We will have Matt, who bowls at Hank's, take that segment over. There's also a segment called Make It Happen, Mazalok. Listeners are given 30 seconds to air their Cardinal hot takes, and the contestant judged the best by our panel receives Bud Bash Cardinal tickets to the game on May 30th. Name that tune with classic TV show themes. I don't believe I can be defeated, but if the shows are before 1982, I'm very vulnerable.
The whole Sparky Lyle thing.
Right. That was the thing with me and LaRusso. Bertarelli Cutlery Cuts of the Week. Iggy's Drops of the Week, presented by the Post. Now, Iggy's Drops are different than Bertarelli.
Very similar in many ways, but different.
A Hot Shots email of the day. It's all tomorrow night for the Larry Nickel graduation party live from Hot Shots in O'Fallon, Illinois. It's TMA Live, presented by Bud Select.
Wonderful. It's very dramatic when you read it that way.
Yeah, I feel
it sounds like just a bunch of goobers going to a bar for a couple hours, but it isn't. When I hear it announced and promoed like that, it seems like a very crucial and important event to go to.
Doug, you're giving Matt, who bowls at Hank's, his own sod tomorrow? Thanks. That's from the 314.
Well, I haven't given it to him. If he would like to host this thing, that's fine.
Yeah. Matt, who bowls at Hank's, I would say, is definitely going to get his own sod at some point.
Stop it, Swopesy.
He should. He should get his own sod.
Doug, getaway day for Marlins, going cross country. That's from Ryan with an R.
Why would I need to know that? Was this another text that was sent five times? Oh, here's a good one. Here's a good one.
Doug, I think it's a compliment to you. People just want to let you know what they're up to. You don't have to look down on it.
Getaway day for the Marlins. I don't even know where they are right now.
Do you understand that people look up to you? They're fond of you. Even if they don't know you, they feel like they do because you have such a good way about you on the radio.
I don't know.
And they want to share thoughts with you like, oh, look.
Getaway day for the Marlins.
Now, what do you think is the pivotal game there? I'm thinking Nashville.
Yeah, I think the pivotal game is going to be Nashville. Yeah.
Right. That's leading the witness.
That's what I do. Made a career of it. Not a good one.
So, Doug, the Marlins, as you know, Jose Urena on the mound today against Lance McCullers Jr. It's an 11 o'clock start. Attendance should be sick.
Won't it be getaway day for half the teams in the major leagues?
And then the Marlins are playing against the Dodgers.
Interesting.
Tomorrow.
Really interesting.
This is what we do when we really have nothing.
No, Ryan with an R sent in the observation. And I would imagine what he is trying to say is take the under.
Dodgers.
Take the Dodgers and the under.
Dodgers are a separate game.
Okay.
Dodgers are probably out in San Francisco, if I'm not mistaken. Is that where the Dodgers are, Doug?
Yeah. I know they're out there playing some club that really wants to take their measure.
Oh, Doug, what about this Leak and Porcello matchup tonight at Busch Stadium?
These are a couple of right-handers who both be looking to limit what I call run production from the other side. And whoever has, you know, whoever
Angels
can do that.
Under 79.5.
If you can prevent the other team from what I would call producing runs, you got a good shot to get the W.
Yeah, but what about the defensive metrics?
Yeah, what about the war?
Cardinals are going to have to show a lot of war tonight and improve on their defensive metrics.
Look at the schedule here quick.
They're going to want to play in positions where they think the Red Sox are most likely to hit the ball.
Ah, now, shifting.
That's advanced metrics.
Shifting.
Yeah. With some shifting and some war and a little bit of metrics on their side, this could be a nice evening for the Redbirds.
Yeah.
Bank it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm calling my bookie Johnny the Nose.
Doug, I'm on Bovada right now. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll ship the roll on the Marlins under. I don't know. I mean, Ryan with an R seems to like the play. The over-under is 8. 8 on a getaway day, 11 o'clock game. Now, the thing is, how many people will be in Marlins Park? I mean, that thing is going to have...
couple 3.
It's been my experience that the
my dad used to say couple
enthusiastic.
3.
Yeah, why is that? Couple 3.
You ever hear that? My yeah. dad used to say that.
Why did he do that?
Yeah.
He was an educated man, wasn't he? Went to Kansas.
No, Wichita State.
Shockers.
Yeah, he'd say couple 3.
Would he get tired of that Greg Marshall thing every March where he'd act like he's leaving, but then he's saying?
I don't think he would care. He's been dead almost 20 years now.
It's very folksy.
Yeah.
It is folksy.
And when they tell a story, they start with, why that old boy? A lot of stories would start that way. Why that old boy? Any point backwards. Like,
why was a big thing? Like, why I ought to knock your block off.
Yeah. You start your stories with why.
Why? Why'd they do that?
I don't know.
Folksy, just to be folksy. Yeah.
How many pieces of candy can I have, Dad? Why? Couple 3.
It's no wonder you're messed up.
Doug, could you tell the audience about Zero Res?
Well, I can because I know a lot about carpet cleaning. I've had Zero Res out to my home. They came right to the domicile, and a fellow by the name of Charlie was out there, and he cleaned all of my carpets, and they were so old, I thought, you know what, it's time. I'm going to have to buckle down and buy all new carpets. No, not after Zero Res, and Charlie got done with it. Charlie made my carpets look brand new. He did it with Zero Res, and he can do it for you, too. You say, that's impossible. It just doesn't. Yes, it does work that way, because they have an empowered water cleaning
Easy.
System. They spray this hot water in your carpet, and the dirt comes right out. They don't hit it with a lot of soap and everything that makes it sticky. Questions, yes, Jim.
How are they with young people's vomit?
That can be cleaned up as well. If you have that need in your house right now, and I think maybe you might have an issue with that, Zero Res is the company you ought to call. Really, any kind of issue at all,
right.
Because they are just the masters. And right now, they have a special going on. 3 rooms, $119. Of course, the deal won't last. At that price, it's not going to last. Let me give you a phone number call. I'll give it to you now. 314-474-2020. If you can't remember that and don't write it down if you're driving, try to remember the website, ZeroResSTL.com. Okay, I don't know how to spell Zero Res. Well, for crying out loud, ZeroRez. Same forward and backward. Zero Res. And they also have this gotta love it guarantee. If they come out and clean your carpet, I'm not happy. It's not looking perfect. The vomit stuff. They will come out and they will do it again. 2-3 times, whatever it takes to make sure you are satisfied. That's Zero Res. And my name is Doug.
Doug, this is Richard.
Hello, Rich.
Hi, guys.
Hello, Richie.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Fine.
You were talking about the sitcom challenge at the Hot Shots in O'Fallon.
Yes, TMA Live tomorrow night, presented by Bud Select for Larry Nichols' graduation from Lewis and Clark Community College. Unbelievable.
And I did a master's thesis on sitcoms in America.
It's important work.
I think I'd be good at the songs, but two, also, the one thing, have you guys ever broken down what houses that the sitcom people could have afforded versus which ones they couldn't?
Yeah, we were going to do that next week, Doug. People would always be very critical. For example, of Courtney Cox, Jennifer Aniston, Matthew Perry, Lisa Kudrow, David Schwimmer, and Matt LeBlanc, that they were living, a little above their means in a very nice, large apartment in Manhattan, despite the fact that they were in their mid-20s and didn't really seem to do much but wait on coffee tables.
Yeah, well, six of them.
Well, Monica had a reasoning. I don't know about the others, but Monica had rent control from her grandparents. It's just her. She had a reasoning.
What about Matthew Perry across the hall?
No, there's no explanation.
Doug, do you know anything on Matthew Perry's rent?
I don't really.
No explanation. Now, if you go a little bit further out in New York onto Long Island, you have growing pains. And right. Maggie was a news anchor.
Right. And Doug, that pays very well.
Affiliate. And
well, in New York, it probably
psychiatrist, and I think they could have afforded theirs. I think they could.
Okay.
Check.
Hold on. I have a question. Bonnie Franklin, One Day at a Time. There were a couple episodes where the super
Schneider
was trying to deal with a bad odor in the apartment. It smelled like ranch style Doritos, and they never could figure out why.
I don't know.
Well,
don't
I mean, no offense. So, if you're gonna come to our show and talk sitcom jingles, you should actually do a little research.
Okay, don't laugh like that. Don't laugh like that.
But okay. Also, people ask about family ties. They lived in Columbus, Ohio. They could afford theirs.
Sure.
Full House always comes up. People always ask about Full House. I don't think so, because I don't know about you guys, but local morning television guys don't make like a ton of money, even in a top 10 market, probably in the late 1980s. And their place is probably $2 to $3 million.
Right.
Home improvement. People always say easy. He could afford it. I don't think so. Again, he was on a cable access show to talk about a tool belt and tools and stuff. I don't think they could afford their house.
It was hot though.
She was a stay.
Are you going to go down the list of every show that's been on the last 20 years or
I'm
so?
I'm absolutely engrossed by this.
Are you?
Yep.
Okay.
Can we go back a little further in time? Because I always thought to myself, Ricky Ricardo was a known entertainer. He worked at the club all the time, and their apartment was kind of ratty, in my opinion.
Well, and I Love Lucy. I think I've determined they could have afforded their place and then some. The sets, a lot of it has to do with the set. The set has to be conducive to people walking in and out, which is why there's phantom staircases on a lot of sitcoms. Where there'll be three staircases in a house that lead up to one spot, which obviously couldn't happen, but at the end of the day, they need places for entrances. Like the inside of Fresh Prince of Bel Air was right. Much smaller than the facade of the actual house.
Yeah, that's a good point, Doug. You ever notice that? And you know who would always get thrown out of the front of the Fresh Prince of Bel Air's home? Do you know?
No.
Do you know? Richard probably knows.
Oh, Jeffrey?
Yep, DJ Jazzy Jeff. Jeff, Doug.
So one of the ones I like to talk about as being the most realistic would probably be Roseanne.
Right.
In a blue collar suburb of Chicago, and they both had blue collar jobs, easily could be afforded. And now Roseanne will be coming back to ABC in January as a mid season replacement with all the original cast. So that'll be cool. I'm interested in that.
I think you're wrong on Home Improvement, though.
What's wrong?
He could fix a lot of things on his own, so there you don't have the overhead of maybe when things do go awry, he can fix it rather than hiring a company. And I think he was sponsored as well by a lot of tool companies. So
well,
I think it's not only the
company,
regional
one tool company, Binford Tools.
And Bob Vila was a part of Binford.
Serious about
Bob
this.
Vila was a part of Binford Tools. And so that's a big name guy. I think Tim was second behind Bob Vila. So you got to think probably
second.
40 or 50 grand. A little extra, probably with the $80,000-$90,000 a year. So I think that's doable. Detroit,
they lived in Rochester Hills, which is an upscale suburb of Detroit, similar to.
Yeah,
like
but Wilson's their neighbor. It's not like they're living next to the Rockefellers here. I mean, you think Wilson could afford that?
Well, Will, they never explained where Wilson had his money, and his wife had passed away. They might have had family money. That was my thought on Wilson.
Or insurance money.
Yeah, old money, like at the Lake of the Ozarks.
Yeah, so I determined that one was tough, and the wife went to night school too, so she was enrolled in university, so they probably had to pay.
Yeah, but Brad was a really good high school soccer player. You never know under the money, table deal from colleges.
The youngest one turned into like a goth. He went off the deep end.
Right.
so they probably had to pay for counseling too. There's a lot of factors.
It always struck me that on Three's Company, even though they weren't making a lot of money, there were three, and they only had the one bathroom. The two girls had to share a bedroom, and they're just, Doug, maybe I'm wrong, but there wasn't a lot of space for entertaining in that apartment.
No, but they were in Los Angeles, right. if I believe I'm right, and the home prices are higher there.
Sure.
They never, and wasn't John a chef?
He was a chef. He was
He was a cook. Yeah. Theirs was probably somewhat on the realm of reality. If I had to guess.
Now the Munsters had a big house in Los Angeles, and
dragging under the stairs.
Herman didn't seem to work.
You're talking about a show that's just pure fantasy.
The other ones are documentaries.
The Munsters, there's no gauge for that. You can't.
No gauge.
There's no comps for the Munsters.
Was Butch Patrick's Widow's Peak real though? Was that part real?
I think
real?
It was. The Beverly Hillbillies. That was oil money. They could live wherever they wanted.
Right. Yeah, that one is explained, but the show is also based in fantasy. It's a hard one to quantify, really.
Yeah.
Family Matters. He was a police officer in Chicago. I think she was like a secretary or something. And then they had money coming in from various aunts and grandmas. And they lived in a nice brownstone in Chicago, probably doable.
Right. Yeah, but the damage Urkel, the damage Urkel did, and I know he didn't have insurance, so it probably, I mean, Carl probably paid a lot out of pocket for some of those damages to the home.
Well, Carl Winslow was a police officer with tenure and a nice pension from the city of Chicago Police Department. He could afford it.
Here's an honest, straightforward question to you, Richard. I'd like an honest response, please. You are for real, aren't you?
I wrote on American Sitcoms in America as part of my my master's.
What grade did you get on it?
For real.
What was your grade?
I don't think they gave the specific grades, but I did pass my master's course. Yeah.
He's got his master's.
Does it really bother you if somebody's living above their means on a sitcom?
No. I think that it's interesting, and I think it's gone further on the time. It has become more realistic. If you look at what would be considered today as like classic sitcoms, Modern Family is very realistic as far as what people could afford, and a lot of shows now don't use the same camera methods anymore.
Right.
So you aren't just seeing just the apartment or just the house, so it is more realistic.
I thought Wonder Years, Richard, was very realistic. Doug, as you know, Jack Arnold worked over at NORCOM, and it would stress him out quite a bit. But it
Sam,
seemed like
it
was.
You brought up the Wonder Years.
Of course,
they never specifically say where it takes place, but it can be assumed that it's in New Jersey or maybe
I agree with
Long
that.
Island.
Yeah, I agree. It's either Long Island or New Jersey, Doug.
Why?
Northern New Jersey. So, that's probably pretty realistic.
Why is that assumed?
In the 60s.
Why is that assumed?
Well, he wears a New York Jets jacket in almost every episode where it's cold.
A New York Jets jacket. Okay.
Now, what about Frasier? He was an affluent guy who lived in a very nice apartment.
In Seattle, yeah, Frasier, but he was brokering time on an AM radio station.
And it was a big marvelous star.
He could afford his apartment, I think. And his dad, didn't his father live with him at
yes.
times, I think?
Yeah, and his father was very good at selling advertising. Yep, I remember the
whole
thing.
He also had a pension or something. So I think Frasier was fairly realistic.
Richard, I could do this for about 10 hours with you. Unfortunately, I got to take a break, but this was wonderful. I'm going to put you on hold so the Sea Monster can get your contact information. I don't want you to be a stranger.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, thank you, Richard. I'm putting you on hold.
Hi, thank you, Richie.
To talk to you. Doug, this is the Design Air Heating and Cooling 7 o'clock hour, designairservice.com. Design Air, the number one train deal in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. Guys, Richard, light yourself on fire.
No.
Guys, Chandler made six figures on Friends. Duh. You can make six figures in Manhattan. It don't mean jack. It's got to be a certain six
No, but figure. If you lived with five other people, you could probably afford an apartment.
Yeah, but they didn't live with five other people, brah.
They didn't all live in the same...
Grow up, Doug.
Yeah, you do seem a little off today.
Well, I thought they lived together.
This guy undoubtedly lives in his mother's basement and pleasures himself multiple times a day to furries. That's from Ben Fred's buddy room. I don't know if Ben Fred had a buddy room.
What is a buddy room?
Design Air Heating and Cooling, sponsor of the 7 o'clock hour, serving the St. Louis area since 1904, the number one train dealer in Missouri, Seth Goldkamp and his family. Fourth generation owner-operators, and they really do care about their customers, and I'm one of their customers. They set up our basement. We recommend them to you, 314-739-1600, or visit designairservice.com. Support the sponsors, and we highly recommend Design Air Heating and Cooling. Design Air, the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. Matt Vasgersian, Next, Scott Spezio at 9 o'clock. Your email's at 9:45. The morning after at InsideSTL.com. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After.